2 Peter chapter 1 is where we are this morning. Peter writes of that grace in verse 2, and then he goes on to tell us how that grace fills our lives in the rest of the book, and we're going to continue in verses 3 through 11 this morning with looking at steadfastness, but we're going to start in verse 1 this morning and read down to verse 11 as we contemplate this grace, this help, and this endurance. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace be multiplied to you. May peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For a couple of months now, 25, 30 children, teens, and adults have been running up and down Lakeshore Boulevard, Sharmar, Louise, and Frederick Streets right off of Lakeshore, as a number of the students of MCS and their parents and faculty members are getting ready for a 5-kilometer race 2 weeks from yesterday. 5 kilometers, we don't deal with kilometers as much as Americans. That's 3.1 miles. And most of them planned to run it. Running for 3.1 miles is not something we do every day, not something we do except by choosing to. No one comes to the end of the day and says, you know what, honey, I just ran 3.1 miles today. I don't know what happened. I was just overcome. It's something we do on purpose. It's something that takes time. It takes endurance. It takes putting one foot in front of the other despite what your body has to say. They're part of a program called Just Run, one of those programs set up to get Americans moving with their own bodies as opposed to go-karts or automobiles or motorcycles. Just Run. And that's the thrust this morning of the message. Just run. Don't stop. Don't stop believing. Don't stop loving. Don't stop doing good. Just run. This message is for those who are off the couch, as it were. Those who have gotten themselves out of the recliner. Those who have left the building and are believing and loving and doing good. Because Peter tells us that we need to make every effort to add to our self-control steadfastness. As we look at this list that we read again now for what, the fourth or fifth week, we're looking at a list that is between faith and love. It's not a matter of sequence where we have this one and then we add this one and then we add the next one and we have to do it in a particular order. It really, as the Greek structure that Peter's using here tells us, in other places in Greek literature, it's one of those lists that all these things are supposed to be added to our lives simultaneously. And in this simultaneous development, this embryonic growth, where you and I didn't grow from our head down to our feet like you see some sort of icon on a web page loading from left to right. No, we grew head and hands and heart and limbs all together. And so we need to be growing in self-control as we looked at last week, brotherly love, which we'll look at in 2 weeks, and in steadfastness. But this morning we focus on steadfastness. 8 points this morning, so I better just run to get through the message. First point is just run, because that's what steadfastness means. Steadfastness, according to Greek lexicons, means a cheerful endurance, a constancy, an enduring, a patient continuance, to stay alive, to stand firm, to endure. It is distinct from patience. And this is important for us to realize. Whereas patience is more of the passive enduring, steadfastness is the active pursuit that endures, the action that keeps going in spite of resistance. It is a perseverance, it is a holding out. The word steadfastness in the Greek language means that. Now let us look through Scripture to understand more fully what it means to be steadfast. If you would go to Matthew chapter 10, we'll turn to a number of different passages this morning. Actually, go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Timothy 2. We'll get this right. If you know where you're going, great, go there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is where I'd like for you to go. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Our second point this morning is this: just run because the race is not over. Just run because the race is not over. Numerous times in our Bibles, God under inspiration, God through inspiration, motivates the writers to refer to the life of the believer as a race. And obviously a race has a beginning and an ending. Obviously a race has participants. And so as we talk about running the race this morning, I'm addressing those who are believers in Jesus Christ, those who have repented of their sins, are repenting of their sins, and their faith and their trust is in the fact that Jesus Christ died in their place and rose again to give them life. We talk about contestants or racers this morning. We talk about believers. And the fact of the matter is that there is a crying need for endurance that Jesus himself reminds us of back in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read you a few verses from the Gospels, and then we'll get to 2 Timothy 2. Just run because the race is not over. Jesus says in Matthew, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Matthew 24:13, as Jesus preaches about the end times, he says, "He that will endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And Mark 13:13, giving us another account of what we read previously, "You will be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Why would I read those three verses, even though two of them repeat the same instance? Because of that phrase, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." My friend, steadfastness is not an obscure topic. Steadfastness is not for the spiritually mature. Steadfastness is required of every single believer here, because the one who endures to the end will be saved. Steadfastness, my friend, is part and parcel of our salvation. And as we're going to continue studying in 2 Peter in the coming months, there are those who did not endure, those who were not steadfast. And we are warned about those. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin our reading in verse 11. "This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. That death with him is not one of martyrdom, it is one of putting our faith in his death for us, which in turn identifies us with his death, as we have looked at in other weeks in other scriptures. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, if we are steadfast," same Greek word, "we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us also. If we are faithless, that is, if we have those moments where our faith is lagging and we sin, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we endure, we will also reign with him. My friends, we need to keep running. We need to be steadfast because the race is not over when we put our faith in Christ. Our race is not over when we've gotten over some of those sins that used to plague us. The race is not over as long as we are still breathing. The race is not over now that we're a Sunday school teacher or an elder. We've raised the kids and they're doing fine. The race is not over until we hit that finish line, which, as Paul described it, was finishing his course and being ready to be offered up. My friends, the race is not over, so we need to keep running. Third this morning, just run even when it hurts. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Just run even when it hurts. James 1 tells us this: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy when you meet trials, because those tests produce steadfastness. You're in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace on which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. As we contemplate running our Christian race, we must acknowledge, we easily acknowledge, that there are obstacles to us running this. There are things that come into our path that challenge our faith. They challenge our belief that God is good. They challenge the belief, the stated truths of Scripture, that we can live obediently. There are all kinds of things that come into our Christian life that challenge what Scripture says to us. And how we respond to those challenges affects whether or not we are enduring and stronger or slowing and weaker. Think about the young people who've been running. Haywood's part of that group. He called me when we were on vacation back at the end of March. He talked to my mom, and my mom texted me that he needed to call Haywood, and I was a little bit concerned at first. Okay, what's going on? Why do I need to call? What's so urgent? So I call him up, and he said, Dad, he said, they're doing this thing at school called Just Run. I only wrote my name down in pencil because they said that you could erase it. Can I run a 5K race? Well, what am I going to tell my son who wants to do something that's going to stretch him and make him better? No, son, you need more time on the Wii. Said, sure, that's great. Go ahead and put it in pen. So he's been running here. We've done some running at home. What do we encounter as we run? What have you who have been running, what have you encountered? Well, you found out that those lungs inside of your chest have the capacity to hurt. Maybe for the first time you realized lungs can hurt. You found some muscles you didn't know existed between your knee and your foot. You found some tendons that will stretch. You found muscles right around your waist down to your knee that you didn't know were there. And what do those muscles and lungs tell you? Keep running. We love the pain. Keep running. This is so enjoyable. No, they scream at you to stop. And when you ignore the screaming, you build endurance. Back in college, I ran with a friend, and it was a little startling the first time we went running. We're running back campus, and it's late at night, and all of a sudden I hear out of the darkness, "Shut up, body!" I'm like, what was that? And I realized it was my friend, who was much more in touch with his body than I was. Exerting his control. Now, I recognize that throbbing lungs are very different from a doctor's diagnosis. I recognize that aching legs are different from an aching heart over your own sin or the sin of someone else. I recognize that the persecutions and the sufferings of Romans 5 and the tests of our faith in James 1 are far different from shin splints, but I think we can take an analogy we understand or an aspect we understand and use that analogy and get to the point of saying the hard things that we experience in life that test our commitment to Jesus Christ are there sovereignly to make us stronger. And there are young people and adults who could barely run a mile or a mile and a half 8 weeks ago. And in 2 weeks they will run 3 miles. Why? Because God has designed our bodies to acclimate, adjust, and to build endurance. And so God has done a part. But that part that God does doesn't happen with us sitting on a couch. Doesn't even happen with us watching other runners. It happens when we get out there and we run ourselves. And so God has built into our souls the capacity to endure whatever He brings into our lives. It's called grace. But that grace only happens when we are humble to receive it. When we follow what James says, where we count it joy, when we let this steadfastness have its full effect, when we keep our faith in what God is doing in our souls, that's when we get more steadfastness, and that's what Peter told us we should be doing. Not seeking the trials, accepting them as they come, and believing. Just run, even when it hurts. Romans chapter 15, since we're not far away, is our next stop. Just run with energy from God and His Word. As we contemplate this running that the students, teachers have been doing, well, we recognize that it's necessary for any of us to have the energy to do that. And part of what Mrs. Seitz has been teaching the students is how to keep themselves energized. Drinking water throughout the day, eating the right kinds of foods. And if you go into sports medicine, you find out that the most elite of athletes are in very restricted diets, so the energy that they are receiving is one that is efficiently used by their bodies for the purpose of maximum output. My friends, God has not called us to endure on our own, but He has given us sources of energy. One of those is in Colossians 1:11. I'll read it to you. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance, for all steadfastness, same word, and patience with joy. Our first source of energy, my friends, is God's glorious might. That glorious might that's seen in the creation of the world. Earlier today, Beth was talking about needing various lights, some of those lights you use at Christmas to the larger spotlights that shine on a manger scene or shine on one portion of your house. Those lights that they're going to use in our VBS in a couple weeks to recreate the northern lights. Not sure how that's going to be done, but they're going to do it, and it's going to look great, and it'll be impressive. The northern lights are a display of God's glorious might. Ion particles infused with energy that give their own glow. The glorious might of God seen throughout nature, yes, but how about the glorious might of God seen in the resurrection of Jesus from the grave? The resurrection of Lazarus was glorious. The resurrection of those two young people that Jesus encountered in his 3 years of ministry, that was glorious. But the resurrection of God himself from the grave, conquering sin and conquering death in our place, is something that we can and should be praying for ourselves so that we have the energy to endure. So that we echo that very similar sentiment that Paul had. That when we are weak, we leave our own energy source and we go to an energy source of glorious might. You're in Romans chapter 15. Start reading in verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. We run with the energy from God and His Word, is our fourth point this morning. We run with the energy from God and His Word. Whatever written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance of the Scriptures and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The God of endurance grants us to live obediently. You've seen perhaps the energy bars, the Clif bars, the power bars that are sold in stores. They're a quick source of energy. Some runners will, in a long race, eat gummy bears, because they're a quick, easy source of energy to get them through the next 3 or 4 miles. A bit of honey is another snack. Even along the way, we need the energy necessary to endure. My friends, if you and I are going to endure in the Christian race, we're going to have to stop relying on ourselves and start relying on God. And that is expressly done by being in this Word that is written for our endurance, it says specifically in Romans 15. And we will be taking the time then to pray to the God of endurance, who has glorious might, who can strengthen us. Make every effort says that it is our responsibility. The God of all endurance says it's His responsibility. And while those two things don't logically hit, God in His infinite wisdom and ability brings them together in our souls as we believe them and practice them. Fifth, just run because obedience will result. I'll read these verses to us. For this point, Luke 8, verse 15, Jesus is talking about the various kinds of soil, and he says, as he is interpreting the parable of the four types of soil, as for that seed in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Our word endurance, our word steadfastness. Just run because obedience will result. The good soil is those who hear the word and they hold on to it in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with endurance. Hebrews 10, verse 36 says, "You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, quote, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay." What is the sign of endurance in Hebrews 10? It is that it is those who do the will of God. It is the doing of the will of God. You know, last week we looked at being self-controlled. And it's easy for us, I think, at some times to be self-controlled, but to be consistently self-controlled, to be enduring in self-control, we find far more difficult. We are in need of endurance. We are in need of an obedience that is fruitful, that's not sporadic but is regular. We are in need of endurance because God has commanded us in a variety of things. Let's just think for a moment this morning about a number of areas in which we need endurance. How about in the nurturing of our children? In the Lord. Nurturing our children in the Lord. 18 years. Different personalities, different stages of life. Different circumstances. Two kids, three kids, four, five, six. We're supposed to nurture each one in the Lord. It gets tiring, doesn't it? I'm kind of in the middle of that race. When do I get to quit? Where's the rest stop, right? We need endurance because as we endure, that will result in fruit of obeying the Lord. How about watching what you watch? Doesn't it just get old? Don't you just want to channel surf? Be enduring. Enduring in your obedience, enduring in your love for God, enduring in your love for what God loves, enduring in your hate of what God hates. And as we endure, my friends, we get stronger. That's the beauty about building endurance. It snowballs. It gives more endurance. Watching what you watch. Fighting your own covetous desires. Confessing your sin. Do you ever get tired of confessing the same sin over and over and over again and again and again? I'm sure runners get tired of running that same route again and again and again. Even if they have four or five different routes, they get tired of the repetition of one foot in front of the other. But it builds endurance. My friends, us humbling ourselves before God and confessing that same sin again and again and again builds endurance, and it makes us stronger, and it changes who we are in our souls. And we will, with God's help, find ourselves more obedient. Don't stop confessing. Loving people. Loving all people. All the time. Don't you just wish we could love some of the people some of the time? That would be an easier command to obey. Love some of the people some of the time. And you can switch the people around if you want to. How about that? But we're not given that option. We're commanded to love everyone all of the time, and that gets tiring. Because some people take just an extra amount of effort to love. Some of those people are under our roof, our home roof. Some of those people are under this roof. Enduring in our love for each other will make us stronger. And it will result in the fruit of obedience. That's what Jesus said good soil does. It brings forth fruit with endurance. Resisting selfishness, living self-controlled lives, reading, listening to, talking about Scripture with our children, our spouses, our friends, our brothers and sisters. My friends, enduring in our exposure to Scripture, obeying God to desire His Word and to meditate upon it builds within us endurance. And as we looked at before, it is our energy source. Point number six was interesting to me, not something I expected. Titus chapter 2 is our next place to go. Titus chapter 2. Point number six is men, just run. Titus chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm going to read from 1 Timothy 6 first. Men, just run. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's your finish line, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say? O man of God, pursue steadfastness along with love, gentleness, faith, godliness. Titus chapter 2. Older men, verse 2, Titus 2, 2. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. We have a need of the men of this church to be enduring, to not be quitters, to not stop trusting, to not stop loving, to not stop doing good. Many times in a race, particularly longer races, you will have individuals who are pace setters. So depending on how fast you want to run the race, according to your training level up to that point, there will be someone who will be able to lead your group in running an 8-minute, 30-second mile, or someone who will lead you in running 8-minute, 45-second miles, or 10-minute miles, or 10-minute, 30-second miles. A pace setter who will take the ups and the downs and take the feeling out of your running and keep you stable and keep you going, to help you accomplish your goals, to help you finish the race without being exhausted, hurt, perhaps even hospitalized. Men, you are the pace setters for your families. You're the pace setters for the church. And if you don't set the pace, if you are not sober, if you are not in control, in your right mind, under God's control, if you're not dignified, if you're not self-controlled, if you're not sound in faith, if you're not sound in love, you will not be steadfast, and people will be running willy-nilly. Some too fast, some too slow, some along the wrong route. Men, those who set the pace have to have the endurance themselves to help those behind them run the pace. Your training has to go above and beyond, Dad, if you're going to lead your children and your wife in the way of godliness, the way Scripture tells us to. Your training, elder, your training, Sunday school teacher, is going to have to go beyond the 9-minute, 30-second mile if you're going to lead a group that's running 9 minutes, 30 seconds. You can't be exhausted and lead a group. Brothers, our training in the Word of necessity, our feeding on the Word of necessity, must be more than our wives and our kids. If your kids go to Bible Community Church and Men Are Christian School, or you're teaching them at home, Dads, you and I've got a lot of catching up to do, because they get a lot of Bible. Men, we are the pace setters. And if our families and if our church is not running in an enduring, steadfast, controlled way, we can't look at the runners. We have to look at the pace setters. Men, just run. Our final 2 points this morning take us to the finish line. It's one thing to be in the race. It's one thing to encounter the obstacles. It's one thing to know that I just got to keep going. But sometimes just knowing you've got to keep going is not enough. Sometimes you've got to remember where you're going, that there is a finish line, that the race is not eternal. It will end. And Scripture tells us that. 2 Peter chapter 3 is a chapter full of references to the second coming of Jesus Christ being out in the future, but it is sure and it is certain. There are those in 2 Peter 3 that Peter references who scoff, who mock, who say Jesus hasn't come yet. Everything keeps going like it's been going. And they said this back in Peter's day. I mean, this is just 40 or 50 years, less than 40 years, after Jesus ascended and people are already scoffing after 40 years and saying, he hasn't come back, he's never coming back. It's not really much surprise that people scoff today 2,000 years later. But the answer of 2 Peter 3 then is the same answer we have now. That the Lord's patience and our patience as we compute them and think about them are two separate things. And the patience of the Lord brings not a frustration or mockery. The patience of the Lord brings the possibility of salvation for so many more. That patience requires us, though, to be enduring. Romans 8:25, if we hope for what we do not see, and we do not see heaven right now. Our best telescopes have never found it. Our experience has not shown us Jesus has come back. We are still hoping for what we do not see. And he says in Romans 8:25, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I should have told you to go to Revelation chapter 13. If you would just do that. We need to go to Revelation 13 and then Revelation 14. Just run, point number 7, because Jesus will come back. Just run because Jesus will come back. That's the finish line. We read that earlier in 1 Timothy 6. There is a finish line. We're not called to endure indefinitely, eternally. There is a finish line, and we wait for it with patience. And this is what we read in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. Revelation 13, 10. I switched some numbers around in my notes. My apologies for that. Start reading verse 5. The beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. Obviously, we're reading about the future. We're reading about a time frame in which there is intense persecution. We come down to verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive to captivity, he goes. If anyone is to be slain with a sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. The call for the endurance and the faith of the saints here in 13:10 and over in 14 verse 12. Let's go to that. Chapter 14 verse 12. We get the context in verse 9. There's an angel who follows them. If anyone worships the beast and its image receives a mark, he will drink the wine of God's wrath. The opposition that there will be in the future beyond what we experience now to worshiping God and to being true to Him will be intense and immense, and it will cut even to our commerce and our ability to purchase, we gather as we read this. And verse 12 of chapter 14 says, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and who keep their faith in Jesus. And obviously we understand the book of Revelation is bringing us up to this point where Jesus comes back and all wrongs are righted and sin is eradicated. And in the midst of the obstacles, there is the call for the endurance of the saints. The reminder in this last book that there is a finish line. There will be some very, very happy runners on June 16th when they come through Classic Park Stadium over there in Eastlake and they touch home plate. And the race is over. That's what they've been looking forward to. And they will endure the pain and the discomfort at mile 2. And they will endure the pain and discomfort as they get around the corner and the stadium is like right there, but man, it's not coming fast enough. They will endure it and they'll get through it because they know that at some point in the very near future, 5-10 minutes away, they will step on home plate, and it will be over. My friends, we have a finish line, and it is the appearing of Jesus Christ. And we've got to just keep running till that comes. Whether it's 10 minutes away, 10 days away, 10 years away, whether it's another 10 decades away. God will give us the endurance if we will keep running. Part of that is seeing the finish line. Part of that is His coming. But even now, if we would go back to Hebrews chapter 12, our final stop this morning, our final point this morning, that finish line is not simply heaven. That finish line is not simply stopping the struggle with sin. That finish line is, according to Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus Himself. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured for sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." Just run looking at Jesus. Just run looking at Jesus. Yes, it's hard for you and me. We do grow weary and we do grow faint-hearted as we struggle against our own sin. As we struggle against those appetites that are stronger. But my friends, we have never struggled to the point of blood. And that's what Jesus endured. Jesus endured blood so that we could be in this race in the first place. Jesus died so we could even have the chance to get to the finish line. Jesus, as it were, Jesus paid the entrance fee when we had absolutely no money. And we are to run this race with endurance because Jesus is the starter and finisher of our faith. He's the founder and the perfecter because He endured the cross so that we could endure this life. So when the diagnosis or the treatment or the next time of confession comes and you want to quit, look to Jesus, who for joy ran ahead of us. When you want to just throw your kids entirely upon God's grace and do what you want to do, look to Jesus and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. When your future is hazy and it should be clearing up, and you just want to do your own thing instead of finding out what God wants you to do, look to Jesus and keep running with endurance. 26.2 miles is a long way to run. That's the distance of a marathon. A few years ago, I ran a marathon. That doesn't make me a hero. That just makes me someone whose judgment should be questioned. I had a buddy who ran a marathon. Basically, I thought, if he could do that, I think I could do that. Didn't know what I was getting into. Never run a 5K before. I'd never run a 10-mile race, never run a half marathon. The first official race I was going to run in my life was a marathon. Not a recommended way to do it. There are better ways to do it. But that part's done, and here we are. I want to tell you about something in that marathon, and this is not to make me the hero of my own story. tell you about something that happened in that marathon because for me, it encapsulates what it means to endure. Ran it in Baltimore, Maryland, and got there, and we were near. This is going to make some people mad. I didn't know that I was coming to Cleveland when I ran the Baltimore Marathon, but it started right by the Ravens Stadium. Okay, honest, I didn't know. That's the second place that Art Modell built, and I didn't connect the two. Forgive me. So we start the race by the Ravens Stadium. I think it's called M&T Stadium. And I get in my pace group, not very fast. The goal was to finish, not die. So I get in my pace group, and we start running. And the Ravens Stadium is down there in a nicer part of the downtown. And so we're running through some areas, and we come through some older areas, the red brick and the taller buildings. And we start going uphill for the first 3, 4, 5 miles, and then it's got a nice downhill after that. And kind of like the warehouse district a little bit. Then we circle back to go toward what's called the Inner Harbor of Baltimore, and that's kind of like what they're trying to make the lakefront here, something where people go to, and there are shops, and there are restaurants, and all those sorts of things. And we're coming up on miles 9, 10, and 11, and I've obviously been training, and I've run 20 miles before, so I know that miles 9, 10, and 11, I shouldn't be real tired. I shouldn't be thinking about quitting, but quite honestly, I am, and I've got a lot more to go. We get somewhere around mile 12, and I see Christy and the kids, and that gets me going for about half a mile. Then I'm tired again. But it was very interesting, and this is, I haven't had time to develop this morning, but my friends, we are not competing against each other, all right? We're pushing each other to finish the race. And so as we've got each other, we need to be cheering each other on. We need to be a support for each other. So I get my little extra half-mile burst, and then it's back to, I quit and don't want to do this anymore. I want to quit and don't want to do this anymore. And then we get up to about mile 14, and we've moved into some of the older neighborhoods, some of the poorer neighborhoods, some of the older stores that were probably vibrant in the 50s but aren't vibrant anymore. And all of a sudden, my ITB kicks in. ITB is, I think, iliotibial band. Runs from the outside of your knee back up your hip. And I didn't know I had an ITB until 2 weeks before the marathon. And I ran, or 3 weeks before, one of those two. And I ran one of my 20-mile training runs. And I came back, and I'm having a hard time walking. And walking up steps is easy. Walking down steps is hard. And I do some, it's hurting in my knee. That's where the pain was. I'm like, great, I can't have knee problems right before a marathon. So I looked it up on the internet, found out it's not going to kill you. It's not doing permanent damage. It just hurts. Okay, well, that was comforting. It just hurts. So I knew this was coming, and I'd gotten a thing and put it on my knee and tried to do some stretching, and you learn all kinds of things after the fact that somebody should have told you beforehand. So mile 14 is when the pain in my knee starts, and if we do the math, mile 14 means I still have 12 miles to go, and so that's that. And we're running, I can't remember. They gave us water along the way, but that whole stretch with the pain is a bit of a foggy memory. And then we get up to about mile 20, and mile 20 stuck out in my mind because I had a friend who had run the marathons, and I said, if he can, I can. And he and I talked a good bit. He said, now, just so you know, it's a whole new race after mile 20. And, I mean, maybe you're like this. I am. I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, 20 miles, 26 miles, what's 6 more miles? Really, it's a 10K. But he was right. Once you get to mile 20, those last 6 miles are just like something different. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. And we're running around this lake. I remember that part. And as we're running around this lake, my knee still feels like it is. And it's like mile 21 or 22. And I'm just like, why did I ever sign up for this? This was not smart. we come out of this lake and we take a right-hand turn and we go through some older neighborhoods, some older homes that have been fixed up and they're looking real nice and it's leafy and that was nice to run through for about 30 seconds. And then I remember my knees hurting and I've still got 4 or 5 miles to go. And then we come out of that and we get into, once again, one of those older sections, kind of the older warehouses, and somewhere behind one of those warehouses over the hill is the stadium area, Camden Yards, where the Orioles play, and we're running toward that. And by now, I think I've gotten myself in the mindset, okay, really, I probably shouldn't quit now because I'm just a few miles away. Nothing is necessarily any easier. By now, I recognize that I've got the salt sweat ring underneath my shirt, which means that I haven't been drinking enough water. I'm not going to die, and I don't feel delirious, so that's not part of the story. But we're at the end, and this thing is not wrapping up the way I want it to. Oh, yeah, I fell behind in my pace group. That was the other thing. I was mad. I almost forgot about that part. I was mad because I couldn't keep up with my pace group anymore because my knee was hurting. And then, yes, as we're in the leafy neighborhood, the pace group behind me passes me. So not only have I missed my 4-hour 15-minute marathon time, I've missed my 4-hour 30-minute marathon time. And my goal has always been 4 hours. So I'm mad, hurting, and all that. Some of you are that way in your Christian life. You're mad and you're hurting. And I get to, in this warehouse district, and the sun is shining, and my knee is throbbing, and there's this guy yelling over on the sidewalk. Larger black man, probably about 50 years old. He's yelling at us. I can't quit, and I won't quit. Can't quit, and I won't quit. For the next mile and a half, that became a very helpful mantra. I can't quit, and I won't quit. As brothers and sisters in Christ, with a finish line that is sure and certain, and far more important, and far more satisfying, and far more compelling than the end of 26.2 miles, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who endured everything that we might get through this. Let us be encouraging each other by our running and by our speaking that we can't quit. And we won't quit. That there's something worth running for. We don't have it, but we're just going to keep running. Let's bow our head. Close our eyes. The Holy Spirit knows what muscle aches. Holy Spirit knows when you have cramps. The Holy Spirit knows where you hurt. The Holy Spirit knows what makes you want to give up. And the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you with might on your inside so that you are steadfast and increasing in steadfastness. Won't you talk to God about that for a few moments before we sing? Heavenly Father, help us where we can't help ourselves. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.